Today's episode is brought to you by Audible. Highly successful and efficient people all have one thing in common. They all read, or at least listen. Now listeners of the show can get a free audiobook when you sign up for a free 30-day trial of Audible. You can keep the book even if you decide to cancel. Go to audible.blueboxdigital.com to sign up today. And now, on with the show. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Think Outside the Blue Box. I'm Anthony Rivera. I'm the lead videographer and editor here at Blue Box Digital, and welcome to the podcast. This is a podcast about creative journeys, the hustlers, the artists, the entrepreneurs, the people that are out there just following their dreams. And today I have an excellent example of that, of all of those, Mr. Reaching Nova.
Hey, I appreciate that. Thank you.
audience, come on. Audience participation here. Welcome to the podcast, man.
Thank you, bro, for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I know Push Supreme kind of reached out and said, hey, bro, you got to talk to this guy. So
that's my brother right there. Thank you.
Here, and I'm glad you're wearing his shirt there.
Oh, you already know.
Yeah.
I'm in the hometown, you know, so I pay my regards.
Sure. Awesome, man. Yeah, and we're going to get to the project that you kind of just released with him here in a minute, but I want to get to know you, man. Where are you originally from?
Oh, I'm from Idaho. No, I'm just playing with you. Your face. You were like, whoa,
Idaho. What are you doing there?
I'm born and raised in the Bronx.
Okay.
I lived in Tampa. Shout out to my father. He's here with us today.
Nice.
I lived in Tampa, so that's where
Daddy
like
Nova.
Papa Nova. That's funny because they call my mom Mama Nova.
So. Nice.
So born and raised in the Bronx, New York City. And I lived in Tampa for about two and a half years. And so I have like a little mix of everything in my blood when it comes to those two sides. 71813.
What brought you to the 813?
I needed a different direction in life where I was going and headed to. I was in high school. I was not even really going, you know what I'm saying? And I knew that if I lived with my dad, who he had opened his doors and given me the opportunity to move to Tampa, I knew if I lived with him, it would just kind of whip me into shape, you know, because his standards for my accomplishments were very high, like an A minus.
Nice.
He'd be like, nah, well, why didn't you get the A plus? You know, so it's not like the A minus wasn't good, but he knew I could achieve more. And I really needed that push at that time in my life.
He knew your potential.
I believe so. Yes.
Yeah, man. And what got you into music? What was it over there in the Bronx or was it here?
Both.
Both?
Yeah, so my uncle Chino, he got me into poetry. And we go even before that, my mom, she taught me how to read. You remember Hooked on Phonics?
Oh,
Hooked
yeah.
on Phonics works for me.
Oh, yeah.
So we had that, and she would read with me every night. So
aging yourself. Man.
As a young, it's all good, though, bro. It's all good. As a young boy, I was pretty good at reading.
Yeah.
Then my uncle introduced me to poetry, and I even did a poetry stand one time, and I liked writing, so writing's like, that's my thing. It doesn't have to be rap. It can just, I like to journal. I like to just, you know, whatever the case may be. So
I would say musicians are modern day poets.
100%.
Yeah.
Most of us.
I agree. Yeah.
Most of us.
Yeah, yeah. The ones who write themselves.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. And then from poetry, you said you did some kind of events with poetry.
Readings? I did a poetry stand. So you read your poem and then it's a competition. So you're first, second, third. That's, you know, life before everyone was a winner.
Nice.
Which is you actually could lose. So
I like that.
Then over time I got into hip hop and I started by copying other artists. So I would take like, oh, this song came out on a freestyle. So it's not on an album. And I knew many people hadn't heard it. So I would literally take the freestyle and rap it like it was me.
Nice.
And impress people. Until one time my bro was like, my boy Brian was like, hey,
I heard that before.
That was so-and-so. And I'm like, yeah, no, I was just making sure you knew because, you know, you're a hip-hop head.
Checking.
Yeah. So eventually that would be the last time. And eventually I would get into writing my own stuff.
Okay. Well, what was the first thing that you actually kind of published out to the world?
I would say the first, man, all right, so professionally.
Yeah.
It would be my mixtape, The Dark Shade Through My Lens, which was with, as you know, Pusha Preem. He was under a different alias, which we don't have to discuss.
No, let's not do that. But,
you know, I popped off professionally with him. Before that, it was like rap battles in the cafeteria, you know, rapping in the car, mm-hmm. ciphering with friends, rapping at parties, and going to the studio, never quite finishing the records, them just being subpar, like all of those levels. Before actually being like, all right, let's do this. We can do this. We have something here. And that would be the first time. So
yeah, to test the waters a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even at that time, you hear me then and you listen to me now and you're like, okay, I think he found himself.
Nice.
I was just figuring it out back then.
Yeah. Is that stuff still up somewhere?
Yeah, you can go on my website, thenovaconcept.com or reachingnova.com. They both lead to the same lake. You can go to my discography and you can download those mixtapes and check me out.
Stuff, yeah.
Get all your laughs in now.
I like that, man, because it kind of shows your progress. And a lot of people do like to see the progress. I know some of the artists nowadays, they just clear out all their old stuff. They want to completely rebrand, so they just completely wipe their stuff. But I'm glad that people like you kind of leave it up for people to go back and see, like, this is what Nova used to be.
Yeah.
And this is what Nova is now.
Yeah, I mean, I think people who do that will actually appreciate the growth in the music. So, you know, I like to leave it up. I have nothing to be ashamed of about my history as an artist. It's there. It's like a history book. I love, real quick,
yeah, absolutely.
When it comes to music videos and songs, it's almost like documentation purposes for me. So, like, let's say I have a child, you know, and they have a child. Well, what did your grandfather... What was he like? Because maybe my grandchildren won't meet me or their grand, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
This will always be here. Like, as long as the internet's not unplugged and everything gone, you can find something about me. And, you know, that's part of why I do what I do, too.
That's cool. Yeah, it's for posterity.
A song like Pusha Preem, like, it's not necessarily, it was never created for the radio. It was more like, nah, that's my brother, and I want to pay homage to him on this record. This is how I'm feeling about it right now.
That's cool, man.
That's how I kind of make my decisions with the music.
That's awesome. And how did you meet Pusha Preem?
Oh, man. When I
moved. Sounds like you've known each other for quite some time.
I met him 2002, summer 2002.
Okay.
That's when I would move to Tampa from New York, finishing high school.
Gotcha. So you actually met him down here.
I met him down here. Okay. Yeah. And shout out to Ms. Hayes. That was our bus driver. We went to work in high school. So,
nice.
You know, I met a lot of the people that I'm still great friends with today on that yellow school bus.
That's cool.
We went to school together and just, like, you know, the moments in between that build bonds and brotherhood. And I'm thankful to still have him today.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Especially with him, because he's doing big things, man.
Yeah, he's the one. He's my, you know, I'm so proud of him.
Yeah.
I've seen him on so many different levels. So, seeing where he is today and what he's evolved into and knowing, like, yo, dude ain't even almost done.
Oh, he's just getting started.
Yeah, like, just knowing that is, I'm excited for him.
Yeah.
I'm excited for him.
That's good. And you know what he looks like without the mask?
Of course. Of course.
I asked him when he came on, I asked him, like, are you ever going to take off the mask? He's like, never.
The urban legend has it he was born with the mask on.
Yeah, that's what I heard too, man. I actually just worked on the cover for his new album, and he showed me the alternate cover, which is him as a kid without any coverings or anything.
Yeah.
So
yeah, so you just throw some age on that, and
yeah,
you got him.
Yep, I got him. So, when was your first show, man? When did you get in front of a crowd for the first time?
Oh boy, that was here in Tampa.
Oh yeah,
that's when I was living here. Shout out to Ease. It was me, Preem, Ease, and I don't remember the name of the spot, Midnight something or something Moon. It was in Ybor. You can ask Preem next time. He'll remember. He always remembers the name of the venue. And I remember we had this record together, and we get on the stage, and they're like, where are you from? And we're like, New York City. And then Ease is like, Chicago. And like, none of us rep Tampa. And next thing you know, like, our microphones were like, yeah, like mad feedback out of nowhere. Even while we performed, it was a hilarious experience.
Wow.
But you know, I thought it was great, because it's like, I mean, if it can get any worse than this, then I really don't think so.
Yeah, you can only go up from there.
Yeah. So that being like, it's like coming outside for the first time and getting punched in the face. Like, all right, well, I know what that feels like. Yeah. I'm just going to come back outside. And, you know, that's how that was. So it only got better. But that was 2003. I can't pinpoint the season, but it was 2003. So it was about a year after I moved here. I was already doing a show.
Dude, but that's a good attitude to have, man, is to get that, you know, bad show out of the way. It's kind of like a comedian, you know, the comedians, when they first go up, they bomb. And if you don't get that first bomb out of the way, you won't know what it's like to be on stage and what not to do, what to do, how to work the crowd kind of thing.
Yeah.
But was that what it was like?
I would imagine. I mean, I'm kind of, you know, because like, let's say everything went all good, right?
Yeah.
And oh, damn, they killed it. Well, then when we do bomb, will I really be prepared for this? It would hurt even more,
yeah.
You know, I'm too used to, like, the love. So to get that, it would be different. So I'm glad I got that first.
Yeah.
Got that out the way. It could happen again. Yeah. Probably won't, though. Not now.
Yeah, not now. Because now you know, going into a show, you know, like, what it takes. And you know.
Yeah, I'm like cell, like, form three. Something like that.
Oh, that's cool. And how many albums have you released?
I have two albums out that are solo, and I have a collaborative album out with another artist named T-Money, Legends. It's an incredible body of work produced by Gio the Architect and myself. And now I'm dropping a third album, solo, long overdue, and it's called Becoming Timeless.
Me? I started as a kid from the Bronx. Met many challenges along the way. But I remained on course. I can't tell you how many times I felt discouraged. I wouldn't tell you how many times the thought of throwing in the towel crossed my mind. Just ain't in me to give up and quit. Would I have been able to elevate my craft had I put my dream secondary? I can't imagine so. Would people recite my lyrics still had I played it like they said to instead of how I chose to? I guess we'll never know. I can't let you tell my story. You'd miss all the good parts. The parts that remain unknown without me. I see you watching. Maybe you think I'm your competition. Maybe I should just go away. Can't. My obligation to hip-hop is bigger than me. What I do right now will exist way after my time here has passed. Legacy, service, sacrifice. What's your purpose? I know why I'm here. Do you? Becoming timeless.
So this is actually going to take a few weeks to release. So by the time it does release, it'll probably be either out already or out soon.
Oh.
So...
I like your timing.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so then play along.
Yeah. So out now. Go check it out.
Becoming Timeless out now.
Yeah, so that's your third
body of work. I would say my best body of work.
Nice. I was going to ask you, which one are you most proud of?
It's going to be this one.
Yeah, why? Why is that?
So the album I'm most proud of right now is my first album, It's About Time. When I did that body of work...
That's your debut, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the title means a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. It's not just like, oh, it's about time. Like, you know, it means a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. But that album, I was most proud of it because it was my first body of work. And, I mean, the music's actually pretty damn good.
You still rock with it?
I still rock with it.
Yeah.
Every song I like, but there's certain songs that I consider timeless. Like, mm-hmm. those would be the hits. If they had, like, a huge machine budget behind it, those songs would probably blow up worldwide.
Nice.
But I just wanted a body of work so when I did shows, I could have at least a 30-minute set. All right, so now we have this album out. When we do that 30-minute set, it'll be this album.
The entire album, yeah.
The entire album. So then the second album, It Was What It Was, follows up. And... at that point, I knew I needed a body of work to balance out the hip-hop and the lyricism. Because when I was doing my shows now, I had a couple of songs on the first album that had bounce, but not nearly as much as you need today. Because everyone likes to
get the crowd going. Yeah,
that energy. You need to channel that. So I created the second album, which is more bouncier. So now when I'm performing, I can just mesh the two, and I have two bodies of work. And in the meantime, I'm dropping singles in between that.
Right.
So, yeah, and this album here, this is my contribution, my conscious contribution to hip-hop. This has nothing to do with, oh, I need songs for, like, those other meanings when you look at it. It's like, oh, well, that's for self. Like, I need this to do that, and so I'm going to put this out. But this one is like, nah, this one's for hip-hop. This is for the genre of music that raised me.
It's a love letter to the genre.
Yeah. Yeah. Father always in his bag, show me how to strive. Only rap, yeah, right, shit is like a job. I just hope that when I finish that I'm still alive. It's like every other month another rapper dying. Ain't no telling what'll happen on the other side.
Yeah, I like that. How did that album come about? Like, when did you start kind of working on that one?
Ah, man, it dates back as far as 2017. We started
been working on it for a while.
Yeah, there were a lot of beats and songs that just didn't make it or just weren't completed for whatever reason. Some songs I dropped as singles because I knew I had certain standards for these records. Like, they had to be timeless. So if you hear them now, there might be a record on there from 2017, and you might not be able to pinpoint it because the sound as a collective is so consistent.
Consistency.
So it's not, there's no date to it. There's no, it's hard to timestamp it. You don't know what time
it's
from.
That's a good thing.
So I wanted to make sure that was the idea for the album as well. Like, it needs to be timeless. I didn't want, like, for example, the Push Supreme single that came out today was originally on the album.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like, when you look at the album cover, when it comes out, Push Supreme is on it. Like, you know, it's a cool cover. It's like it's like an artwork. Nice. Push Supreme's on it. But, you know, when we had all the songs, I sit there and I listen and I go, all right, these are cool, right? But the majority of them are universal. So this is something that somebody from the other side of the world can actually relate to if they can understand what the lyrics are saying. In this year, in this time frame, we have translators. So it's always easy to kind of see what somebody's saying if you really want to know.
Yeah.
But the Push Supreme record is more personal. That's more intimate. So that kind of puts a ripple effect in that the continuity of universal, the universal feel, the gotcha. Universal delivery of every song. You don't really, I can't say everyone's going to relate to the Push Supreme song. Like, I relate to the Push Supreme song.
Yeah.
But if I do, you know, I have a song on there called Be You. Everyone can relate to that. The overall message. There's another record called Becoming Timeless. Everyone could relate to that. Celebration. Everyone could relate to that. Finding Peace. Just by the titles, mm-hmm. you can tell. Like, yeah. okay, that's the idea. So now you get to Push Supreme. Like, huh?
It kind of doesn't fit.
We don't want to do that.
Gotcha.
So, you know, we did this.
Gotcha. Is that why you released it early?
Correct, yeah. And it just so happened, like, yo, I'm in Tampa. Like,
yeah.
My brother happens to be the king of this town.
It's perfect, yeah.
Let's do it.
You got a rep. So you're only here temporarily?
Yeah, we leave on Monday.
Okay.
I try to come at least once a year. You know, my dad's out here. My brother's out here. I have great friends out here that I've developed, like, brotherhoods with. So it's always important for me to come out here. And even, like, if I drive by the old high school, shout out to Wharton, or if I drive by Cross Creek, there's so many memories that are to be unlocked. Like, when you go to certain places or when you're with certain people that have certain energies, the memories live within us, but it's like when you're with certain people that connect things, certain doors open that you're like, I wouldn't normally think of that.
Yeah.
The same thing happens when you drive by somewhere you lived or you walk in an old apartment. You ever see, like, artists go to where they first grew up and they walk in there and they're like, yo, this used to be here.
Yeah.
It's a nostalgic feeling. And it's also great for a writer because now I get to rechannel everything that I may not be consciously aware of right now.
Might trigger some memory or some thought or something that
it's within me.
Yeah.
It just, we need the combination. And sometimes to get that unlocked, you have to go there. You have to be there. So that's what I like to do. And it replenishes me and it really restores me in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Once a year. It's like a retreat.
Almost. Yeah. Except there's really no chill time.
Yeah.
It's just like, there's a bunch of things to do, but there's so little
time. It's productive. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's productive. No, that's awesome, man. I appreciate you taking the time out while you're here to come to the Blue Box.
Bro, I saw the quality of the interviews that were being conducted here, and I'm like, man, I would love to be a part of that. And I asked Prem, I'm like, man, you know, any podcast that you really recommend that, you know, they're good. And you were like number one. He's like, this one you need to do alone.
That's
like,
awesome. Yeah.
It's great one-on-one. I'm like, all right, cool. So we're going to do that.
Yeah.
And here we are. So thanks to Prem and thanks to V and thanks to you for, you know, just because of you guys, I'm here right now talking to you.
For making the space, Yeah, and I told him you kind of lucked out because before you, it was, you know, kind of people reaching out on Instagram, say, hey, you know, I want to get on your show, I want to promote this, but now it's referrals.
Oh.
So if you weren't referred, you're not getting in here.
Oh, so, got you.
Yeah.
It has to be like that sometimes.
Yeah, because now it's gotten to the point where I have almost 10 episodes in the bank, and, you know, once I shoot one, it's not going to be out for another 10 weeks or something. You know, it gets a little crazy, so yeah. I got to be a little bit more selective.
Yeah, technically, you're on, like, season two.
Yeah, right? Yeah. It's an extended season one. It's like 40 or 50 episodes already.
That's a lot.
Yeah, man. Yeah, we're going places, and hopefully the next time you're in town, you come by again, and we'll get another update.
Hell yeah.
Where you are, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Maybe next time me and Preem can be on here together.
Yeah, heck yeah. We'd set up another microphone, get all three of us going.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. So what's next for you, man? What's other than the stuff that's coming out soon or out now?
What was next was I knew I wanted to try other things. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I wasn't sure if I wanted to work on another album. I wasn't sure. I was just kind of jaded of the whole music thing. It can get tiresome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I believe that.
You know, and then who knows? Maybe I want to help another artist kind of like reach their potential. That's always on the back of my mind. I just know I'm capable of so much. I don't want to just limit myself to making music and rapping and dropping albums. I want to do other things too. But I say that to say, you know, in this year, we've charted twice, okay? One single on the album, Becoming Timeless Celebration, we charted number 23.
Nice.
Okay? Then recently, Finding Peace, which is another single on the album, we charted 53 or 54. Not sure. Top 100 rap hip-hop songs. Wow. Okay? UK.
You're getting some kind of momentum, bro.
And it's also confirmation for me.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, nah, wait, something is happening here.
Yeah.
And it's not something like I'm striving for necessarily. I'm not in the studio with Gio, the architect, saying, you know, Gio, I think it's time we make a radio hit. We never do that. We chat, mm-hmm. The energy brews, and then what are we going to do? And then it happens. Magic happens. And the next thing you know, the song's on the Billboard. Oh, well, you know, it charted.
Now,
granted, reaching Nova doesn't just pop on his own. Like, I have Queen V, some people call her V the Voice. She does the marketing behind Reaching Nova. So I know it's not just because I'm a dope rapper that the song charted, because I have other songs.
It takes
songs.
A little more than that, yeah.
Yeah, if that's the case, every song would have charted. Yeah. So that's not the case. But it's a formula, it's a combination of something that's happening between certain people, which essentially it's like three of us, me, Architect, and V. It's like the holy trinity of Reaching Nova right now. So this is a confirmation for me. I didn't ask for this. I didn't strive for that. That wasn't a part of the plan.
Yeah, you don't put it out there to chart. You put it out there because it means something to you.
Right.
Yeah.
So now that it charted, it's like, well, worldwide, this is doing something. We have to see what that is. Because Reaching Nova and Mark... me, we love people. I love human connection. When I get on the stage and I'm rapping, you want to call it, or sharing my story, however you want to label it, when I get on that stage, it feels great. I love the feeling. When I get off the stage, it feels even better, because that's when people share their thought. Yo, when you said that, I feel like you were saying that for me. Like, you were my voice
just hearing that.
At that moment. That, for me, is probably one of the most gratifying feelings ever, because it starts with a pen and a pad, right? Or somebody's iPhone, depending on how you write.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you get the music behind it. And the next thing you know,
you're
shout out to
people.
The distribution companies, you're able to reach people that you may not necessarily even see because of this thing called the internet. So when you get some good marketing behind you, shout out to V the Voice, V the Brain. She, you know, we get that music that me and Architect work on in front of the right people. So now things are happening. Oh, shit. Can I curse?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. We got to keep going. So now it's like, all right, well, I'm not doing an album anymore. That's not even a part of the question. Now I'm telling Gio, let's get it going. Let's get it popping. Let's start the next one.
Yeah, because now you're starting to see a little bit of spark. You gotta maintain that momentum, man. You gotta keep that consistency.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I think we talked about it in the beginning of the podcast, is that consistency.
Consistency is definitely, you know, it's very cliche. Consistency is key, but there are certain things that are, they're proven to be true. Like, you keep doing something and something's going to happen with that. We don't know what that something is, but it's going to be more than what happens if you don't do that something. Yeah. So we know that.
It's a lot of factors too, because you keep getting better and better every time you do it. So if you keep consistently doing it, you're going to get better. You're going to reach more people. You're going to have a bigger body of work that people can go back and look at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, what happens in 10 years when Reaching Nova has over 1,000 records just available to be streamed?
Undeniable.
When, what happens in 10 years when, you know, the sounds change and perhaps the music becomes more relatable on a universal standpoint? It's like, me personally, I do what I do. I don't just do it for today. I do it because I sit and I think about it and I go, man, in 5 years, in 10 years, this is going to be worth something more. And I appreciate value. So I have an eye for, all right, well, boom. And this is why I put so much effort into when I write. And I don't just put anything out. I have songs that I could put out.
Oh, I'm sure.
I might not put them out just yet because...
Or at all.
It's not the energy I want to put out there. Some songs might be a little bit too aggressive. And right now, I just want to put out some peace music. Yeah. That's me. I'm not waiting on it like to be like, oh, this is... You know, this is a summer song. It's not that. It's, this is how I'm feeling and this is who I want to connect to right now. So ultimately, I just like to think I have control of my destiny. I don't have somebody telling me, you need to do that and you need to look that way.
Or trying to change your image and your music. Yeah.
Sound more like that. Like, nah, I'm good. There's like 100 other guys who do that. Why you want me to do that? I'm great at what I do, you know? And
they just want it to be easy to sell you. And they want to change you so that it's easier for them to sell. That's not a good salesperson.
Well, because when you have something new, you have to figure out what to do with it.
Yeah.
And when you're dealing with an artist who has a new sound, well, those guys don't come with an instruction manual.
Yeah, like there's no template.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have to figure it out, and it's like starting from scratch. All right, well, damn, this guy, you know, these guys, they all sound the same. So when this guy comes along and he sounds like these guys, well, we know he sounds like these guys. So we just push them through with that formula, and hopefully that works. We believe that'll work. Then when you have this guy who comes around, and he doesn't sound like any of these guys, all right, well, we have to see who in the world even likes this guy.
Yeah.
Okay, who does he appeal to? What demographic? Where? How many?
That's a lot of research.
How often?
Yeah.
So many in-between pieces that we don't even consider. But that's why it takes so much money to break a new artist, a brand new sound. But usually a new artist, like, you know, when Drake came out, he had a different sound. He wasn't like a brand new invention of an artist. We had artists from the past who sang and rapped. So we've seen that before.
Yeah.
But when it came to a predominantly hip hop artist who was singing, well, we saw it with Ja Rule and stuff, but even Ja had like a grittier approach in his music. This was like the lover boy Drake, you know, and hard, you know, rappers were like more hardcore at that time. So they didn't know how to deal with that. They didn't know if they should respect it. And over time they had to, because every time you got it's on undeniable. A record, he spanked you.
Yep.
Or he kept up.
Yeah.
So this guy that you thought was sweet, whoa, he's actually pretty serious now.
He kept doing it.
Now look at him. Now all the artists that they wanted you to be like here, damn, the gangster rappers, this don't even work anymore.
It shifted. Yeah, now everybody wants to be like Drake.
So now you have to reinvent, right? And if that don't work, you're done. Yeah. Why? Because you allowed somebody to tell you do it like that. Not seeing the future, knowing that, damn, there's always room for change. Something can come in with a brand new sound. A whole new genre of music could drop in a month. And we're not listening to trap or hip-hop number one anymore. It's what hip-hop did to music.
Yeah,
hip-hop came along and became the number one genre of music, and it's still there. Yeah. And it's unified so many people.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying it's only done good.
Yeah.
You know, there's two sides to every every coin, but
yeah, and now there's such an oversaturation of the market, man, because of all these streaming services. Now anybody can get their stuff out there and, you know, get clout or make a fool of themselves online and get it some sort of attention. And
yeah,
you kind of have to do a little bit more to stand out.
Yeah, and which I think is, like, for me, and this is why I do it this way, standing out is just be yourself. We're all like a fingerprint, right?
We're all individuals, yeah.
So if you're trying to do like whoever you're influenced by, or if you're trying to do like whatever you see, you're mimicking something that already exists. But if you can be in tune with who you are and discover yourself, then you get to share something brand new with the world. Because these are things you're just figuring out. These weren't things you were told to be or told to do. So I would always push for an artist to, you know, be them, be you. And
that's okay to have influences, but don't mimic, you know, like kind of take a little bit of here from a little bit from there. And
yeah.
Create your own voice from that.
That's what I am. That's what Reaching Nova is. Reaching Nova is not just Mark, right? Reaching Nova is Mark. And then there's a sprinkle of some salt there. And then maybe some song there. And then maybe some raw onions here. Nice. There's different things. But like Mark is the nucleus. His experiences in life are the nucleus. I'm not trying to talk about someone else's life. So that's what makes everything original. But then you take things that worked or things that inspired you or influenced you, and you make those work too, and then you have a whole entree.
Yeah, you kind of come like Frankenstein it a little bit.
Still got to season the meat.
I like that. So what this new album that you're dropping, what's your marketing strategy for it? What,
you know, we have these listening sessions. And we invite people to hear the album in small groups. So it's a controlled environment and there's not people talking over the music. You always want people to receive the music. That's why we're here.
Yeah.
We're not here to talk and chat. We're here to listen to some new music. And, you know, let's say you have 10 sessions like that with groups of 10. And that's 100 people that are, like, genuinely invested in what's going on right now. So now when you have a show, well, you have 100 tickets. If not 100, at least 60 you can
easy,
sell.
Easy, yeah.
Easy. They like the music already. Now, when you drop the music, it's not like, all right, I got to get those people who I originally reached out to for the listening session. Let's say I hadn't done the listening session. Now I have to get those people all on board. I have to somehow hope that they have time to hear the album. Well, now we already took care of that. So now when the album drops, those people are going to help spread the word. So now it's not just, you know, the group of us pushing it out. It's a hive of us.
Yeah.
And so that's a very cost-efficient idea. You know, get your grill going, invite some people over, play the music, you know, and inform them of what's going on and what inspired it. And they will, at that moment, become a part of it, and they will feel that way because they are. And it'll make things a lot easier. And I believe it'll help spread the word of the project. And
word of mouth, man. Word of mouth is the number one most effective way to advertise anything.
100%.
And if you can get somebody jacked and you know, involved in the process of you releasing your album, that's brilliant.
Yeah. And the key, right, is person to person, like bringing these people in the same room. It's not like, see, we live in the world of the internet now, right? So now everyone is going to be like, hey, can I get on your podcast? Well, let's say you're a DJ. Can you spin my music? They love sending links. Yo, just hear my song. Like, go find it. Okay.
That's funny.
Or who has the higher probability of you getting them on the podcast? Well, as we see, you want referrals. So now you just eliminated everyone who's just like, hey, can I get on? Because whatever reason, you've eliminated that because the referrals now. So now there's a process. It's the same thing. It's like everyone's trying to reach everyone through the internet because it's convenient. And convenience never made a legend. Like, that was hard work and grit. Everybody that we listen to their music that were from 50 years ago, they had the machine, granted, but they were going from town to town doing shows. You know, the original tour is like a jazz musician, right? And he'd get on a bus and he'd go from town to town on one-way bus ticket and play outdoors and get money for the next town. Next thing you know, dude's getting a record deal. Okay.
There's people all across the nation that know his stuff now.
Because he just went from town to town. You have to spread the word. And back then, there was no internet. So it was like, yo, you have no choice. You want to be known. You want to get the work out there and you don't have a budget. Okay, well, here's how you do it. Get in your car. Get on the bus. Go from spot to spot. Meet people. Hope that you meet somebody who can actually help you or they will buy your music. And then, you know, circle back. Go to a different spot in that same city, right? Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, when it's time to tour, you can at least pull a nice crowd out because over the last 5 years, you've been circling your music around the nation. Okay, well, people know you now. Damn, who's this guy? The labels hear you. Now they want to sign you because you did the work. But even at that time, they were still doing artist development. That was like a thing. So now they develop the brand and stuff like that. As you know now, they want you to already have
it, that
solidified. Which, okay.
Less work for them, I guess.
It's less work for them. They need to know what works because it costs so much money to break an artist. So if we can see that, all right, homeboy, first off, he's investing in himself. Or homegirl. They're investing in themselves. All right, cool. They make money. Look how many people go to their shows. All right, what do their merch stats look like? What do their streaming stats look like? They look at the numbers. We live in a time where the numbers matter.
Yeah. Numbers mean more than the art, right? Unfortunately.
Which is why people go as far as focusing on the marketing more than they do the craft.
Yeah.
Because it's like, all right, well, if I can put out whatever, and it's just a matter of as how long popular as you market it is,
right? Yeah.
It works.
It works.
So, you know, that's why I do believe, like, in the future, having something to say on a record will matter because eventually...
It's just noise. It'll crash. Point, yeah.
Yeah. It'll crash like anything else. And people are going to want to return back to the essence, the fundamentals of the music. And they're not going to want to hear about how many bodies you caught or how many girls you slayed. That's not going to be important anymore. Something's going to shift to where things are going to matter again.
Yeah.
The little things, the things we've been ignoring, deeming unimportant, will matter again. So having something to say now. It's like a long-term investment because when that time comes, whoa, look at my catalog. I don't have to play catch-up. Like,
where's this guy been, you know?
I wasn't shitting around the whole time.
Yeah.
Shitted around here and there on some songs, had some fun. But predominantly, you know, I did what I do, and I stuck to that, and that worked for me, and it's going to work for me in the future, too.
Like yeah. That was a good sound clip. I want to clip that.
Oh, that's fine, bro. You can go for that.
That's for Instagram.
Of course.
Oh, well, that's awesome, man. Well, I appreciate you taking the time out to kind of come on the podcast, talk about your musical journey and...
Thank you.
Yeah, your story. And like I said, man, the next time you're in town, stop by and, you know, you're welcome back anytime.
Thank you. And I have a question for you.
Yeah, yeah.
So you shoot videos. What made you want to get into podcasting? What made you say, yo, let's start this here. Let's do this.
I was talking to your videographer earlier about that. It's the networking opportunities that it grants me because when I first started doing videography, I was doing music videos, I was doing TV commercials, stuff like that, and I was making the connections, but I needed a way to you know, kind of get my work, get my name out there a little bit more, you know, and I already had the connection, so I brought some of the same artists that I had worked with music videos and stuff. I just said, hey, just come on the podcast. You know, we'll talk about what we worked on, and it just kind of took off, man, and now I'm making big connections in the city, and I hope to be labeled as one of the staples in the city. I want to be the Joe Rogan of Tampa.
Oh, so. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's dope, man. Well, I'm honored to be on here with that being said.
Likewise, yeah. Likewise. I'm glad you actually made it on before before things get a little too crazy.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so where can people find your stuff, man? Where are you online?
Oh, you can Google Reaching Nova. That's R-E-A-C-H-I-N-G-N-O-V-A. TheNovaConcept.com, my website. Another domain that leads to the same website is ReachingNova.com.
Nice. So it's kind of like a funnel.
Yeah, ReachingNova.com is easier for people to identify. The Nova Concept is catchy and a really cool idea. Nice. So, yeah.
Do you have an album named that?
No, not yet. Maybe one day we will.
Yeah, there you go. You got to use that name somehow.
Yes, yes. I mean, I had the Becoming Timeless title since 2014.
Nice.
I just needed the right body of work for it. So maybe the right body of work one day will come for the Nova concept. That sounds like a very introspective album, by the way. The Nova concept. Like, every song is about me discovering myself.
Yeah, you heard it here first, guys.
It's kind of like Damn, like Kendrick's Damn.
Yeah.
All right, well, I like that. I'm sure I'll have to piece you up for that idea.
Concept, so yeah. You already came on the podcast, man. You don't owe me anything.
So. I look to come back again one day.
Yeah, that's awesome. Where are you on Instagram? You said
Reaching Nova.
Reaching Nova.
Reaching Nova is my handle, like internet wide, worldwide. Reaching Nova, you'll always find me.
Nice. That's,
he is I and I am him.
I like that. And for us, it's going to be at Blue Box Podcast on Instagram. We post little highlights of the podcast on there. So if you don't have the full hour or whatever it is to watch the whole thing, there's consumable content on there. We just launched the merch store. So if you want to rock out the Blue Box, just head over to shop.bluebox.com and grab your stuff there. And yeah, I think that's it, man.
Yeah, I'm going to grab me a Blue Box hat.
Yeah, get a hat, get a sticker.
Yeah, I'm going to. These are free. I'm going to purchase.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, make sure you go support the Blue Box. But now you got to know somebody who knows somebody who knows this man to get on. I'm honored to be on here. Thank you, my brother, for having me straight up. Shout out to Pusha Preem. That's my brother from another. You already know, man. I'm thankful to be here.
Yeah, likewise, man. Thanks again for coming on. And yeah. We'll see you next year.
See you next year, bro.
And we'll see you guys in the next episode. Thank you so much for watching.
Hey!